B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
And Murray.
Gasper!
And Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
And Murray.
Gasper!
And Murray.
Just looking here on Twitter, 98.5 The Sports Hub official account. It's Gasper and Murray, by the way, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Some of our broadcast team already set up down on Radio Row in Miami. Jim Louth wandering around there at the convention center, whatever the hell it is. I forget where we're going to be this week. Mark Capello as well. So, they're going to be live from Radio Row, Felger and Mash Show, myself included this week, Zolak and Bertrand with Hardy as well. It's going to be a little bit weird for me, Chris, now that I think about it, because I've been lucky enough since I've been back with the guys. Well, that first year I was back full-time with Felger and Maz was that horrific Super Bowl that you still talk about like it's your Afghanistan, that you had to go to San Francisco.
No, that was one of the worst. I mean,
Panthers,
it's
Broncos.
Hard. Minnesota, San Francisco. But again, I always say San Francisco was just like the attractive man or woman that just did not care. They're like, we're San Francisco. We're not even going to try. And boy, they did not try. I still have a picture on my phone of what passed for food in the media lounge, individually wrapped Biscoff cookies.
Yeah, that's not good. No. So that one I didn't get to go to because I guess I was, and I understand it, I was like on probation, like Jim hasn't earned it yet, he can't come. And they and Jimmy Stewart got to go. I remember he saw Metallica at AT&T Park and like, that's great. And like, you know, it's good that other people get to go. So then I've now been on this 3-year run where it's Patriots, Patriots, Patriots. I'm like, this is like fantasy land. It's insane. So this will be my first where it's not Patriots.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Is it going to be more of a low-key week for the kid? Like, what do you... Like, would,
I think
you're not going. Like, I don't know anyone. So I'll tell you. I've been trying to fill my days with stuff to do because I'm not. I'll be honest. I'm not the biggest fan of Miami. It's a city that lets you know your place in society. In other words, if you're not rich or hot, you have no business being there. Like, I've been there a few times before, and I don't. It's all right.
Stay off the roads too.
Oh,
the worst place I've ever driven. It's like if New York and Los Angeles drivers had a baby.
Awful. Oh, that's good. So I've just been trying to fill my days with stuff. Like I booked a boat tour on Monday night.
Oh, cool.
So I can, you know, it takes you by where like all the rich and famous people live and like whatever. It's going to be warm weather. I want to be out on a boat. I love a boat.
Yeah.
I booked, there's this part of the city that's like the hipster area where there's apparently some of the best graffiti in the world, some of the best graffiti art. So I booked a tour to see like the graffiti art. Like I need stuff to do.
Is there like a cocaine cowboy tour?
No, I don't know.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't expect that coming out of your mouth, but sure.
Yeah. that was a good documentary.
The dark side of Gasper. What are you looking for?
That would be...
Chi-Chi, get the yayo down here in Miami. but I don't know what to expect in terms of the buzz without a lot of Patriots fans. And normally we've been hosting these big events on the Saturday. Yeah. We find a bar. It's bananas and everyone's out of their minds and everyone gets like S-faced and it's been awesome. So
sure.
I don't know. Should I be expecting a low-key week?
I mean, I think it'll be more low-key for you professionally, but personally, it's going to be like all the other weeks. There'll be like a million parties and invitations, and, you know, there'll still be people down there like Breer. He can get you into stuff. You definitely want to get into that EA Sports party if you can. That's a good one.
Do all those things even exist anymore? Like, they still
do?
They do. Like...
I mean, Maxim still exists, even though we weren't invited last year.
So, yeah, it'll be an interesting week. I'm happy to have some warm weather, at least, you know, for the week. I'm not going to complain about it. Like I did in Minneapolis, and rightfully so. I know no one ever really wants to hear anything.
Like,
you guys get to go. Shut up. It's a week that was so bad that I've basically blocked it out of my
mind. If anybody wants to know, if you're like, you're so lucky to go to the Super Bowl, here's what you do. Go down to the North Shore Mall, barricade yourself in the food court for a week, and you too went to Super Bowl 52.
That's basically
congratulations.
What it was. Yeah. You guys weren't that far. Oh, you know, so it would be like telling someone, come visit Boston, but stay in Danvers.
Yeah.
At the Liberty Tree Mall.
Stay at a courtyard by the Liberty Tree Mall, and then you can go into the Liberty Tree Mall courtyard and spend your entire week there. And then when it's negative 13, we'll bus you to a random stadium, and you'll wait in line for 45 minutes to get into said stadium as you freeze to death. And then you get to watch the Super Bowl.
One of the things that popped up this week that had people hot and bothered in terms of talking about sports, and it just wasn't, I think it's been a national story, is that Eli Manning, quarterback of the Giants, retiring after 16 seasons, made a classy announcement yesterday, did the whole press conference and all of that. But with the talk of Eli Manning comes the talk of Eli Manning, potential Hall of Famer. And let's apply the same rule that we talked about to open the show and talking about the Baseball Hall of Fame this week. It's an idea that I didn't come up with. A brilliant tweeter sent it to me this week when we were talking about the Hall of Fame on Felger and Maz. The new rule should be is that those that get to vote, that have the privilege to vote on any of these Hall of Fames, especially the Baseball Hall of Fame, you have a two-second rule. Two-second rule, and if you have any longer than that, you get tased. Say the name, 2 seconds, go. Eli Manning.
I'm going to get tased.
The 2 seconds are up, Chris. Yes or no?
I'm just looking at some of his stats. Why is it a yes?
It's a yes because
how is it that automatic for you?
Postseason, he's one of two. He's one of 12 or 13 guys that have won two Super Bowls. Name the MVP in both of them, and I think he's one of five or six guys that have ever done that in league history. And those two runs alone, 07 and 11, and especially 11. And I wait the postseason. He's a yes for me. That guy was. You couldn't kill him. He was Jason Voorhees on those two runs, dude. Like
those two runs, his numbers in those two runs.
Insane.
Were like 07, six touchdowns, one pick. 2011, nine touchdowns, one pick. He was really good in those. You know, I guess
And the other thing too,
yeah.
And so sorry to cut you off,
no,
is the I'm a big believer in the cliche of what's the best availability. I mean, his game started streak is he's like top three or top four all time.
Yeah, he did always go out there, and you have to give him credit. But boy, some of these other postseasons are
brutal.
Bow wow.
Six postseasons, he was only successful in two of them. Those other four, it's god awful.
Yeah,
it's and his regular season
he was one and done, and all the other ones. He has 4 1 and duns.
Yeah, not great. But those two runs alone, and I wait the postseason. It's why I'm a yes, a 2 second yes on Curt Schilling. I'm a yes on Eli Manning.
I mean,
I get the argument against, but I'm a yes.
I mean, career completion percentage in this day and age that he played in 60.3%. That's a little low. Quarterback rating 84.1. And here's what really gives me pause: three times he led the league in picks. Three.
Oh yeah, no. There are some Jameis Winston-esque numbers there.
I mean,
he had 28, 29, one of those years.
Yeah, 20, 25, and 27.
27. That's what.
Yeah, three times he led the league in picks.
Yeah, it's not great.
That's ugly.
It is not great.
Including the 2007 season when he ended up winning the Super Bowl. He led the league in picks that year. He got red hot in the offs.
I understand why people want to argue against. I'm also a yes on Kurt Warner, and I know people don't like that either. I was a yes on Kurt Warner. You make three Super Bowls, one with a completely different team, that stupid Arizona Cardinals team that almost won it against the Steelers 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, yes there, too.
Here's the other thing as we debate this, too. Look, you know, the 07 Super Bowl, obviously he made the plays he had to make there at the end, but that game was real. I mean, he won the MVP, but I feel the same way about that when I do a little bit about Foles winning MVP in Super Bowl 52. The MVP of that game, 52, should have been the Eagles' offensive line,
yeah,
but no one's going to vote for that.
Yeah.
This MVP in Super Bowl 42 should have been the Giants' defensive line. So I feel like he kind of rode coattails in that game. Also, that never would have happened if Asante Samuel had caught that interception, or if they had not allowed Jarvis Green to basically get tackled when he was bringing down Eli Manning. I mean, it's one of the most egregious non-holding calls I've ever seen. And Eli Manning's career record is 117 and 117. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. Minus the Super Bowls, I feel like this is like letting Ryan Tannehill into the Hall of Fame.
Ooh,
so I have
cold.
A little bit of a struggle with this.
All right. Well, it took you like 5 minutes to get there. So it sounds like you're a no on Eli Manning. You had the 2 seconds, but you took five full minutes, but you're a no on Eli Manning. And I can respect that.
I'm still not sure.
Were you yes or no on Kurt Warner?
I was a yes.
You are. Okay. And Terrell Davis? Didn't we debate? Because I'm a yes on Davis.
I'm a no on him.
Yeah, because you thought he took steroids and
exactly.
It was just two
good
years.
Those adult braces were a dead giveaway. I also always held it against him that he was terrible in college football, because that just kills me. I invest all this time in college football for you to be a nobody and then jump on the scene, even though you played at Georgia. And also the fact that basically like Olandis Gary's grandmother could run for 1,000 yards for the Broncos diminishes some of his accomplishments. He's a no for me.
Yeah, I was a yes just because he was so dominant in those 2 years. And even if he was pumped up with steroids or whatever it was, and it was definitely a benefit of that offensive line. You're fair to bring up Olandis Gary. I forgot about that name, but he was right. He ran roughshod through a league too behind that line. But Davis dominant 97-98. And in 99 alone, that's why I'm a yes on Kurt Warner. I know it's just 1 year, but when you're that transcendent of a talent, even if it's just a, you know, for a small sample size of one season, I mean, I can be swayed.
What put me over on Kurt Warner was when he took the Cardinals to the
that
Super
too,
Bowl.
Like that, and, that
and
was
I
impressive.
I covered that game, and he played well, and honestly, they easily could have won that. So, you know, when I looked at that, I was like, to do that so far, almost 10 years apart, I had a lot of respect for that.
Yeah, and my Eli Manning thing, like, this isn't a, that's not a trolling or anything. I despise Eli Manning. He has given me two of the most, well, definitely one of, if not the most painful sports memories of my lifetime, was Super Bowl 42.
Mm-hmm.
The 1 year later, it was at 46 in 2011, again, the one in Indianapolis.
The better team one. The more talented team.
Chris, I literally, like, I was, people hated watching that game with me because I went into it with my arms crossed because I knew the Patriots were going to lose that game and it was going to be in horrible fashion, yeah, just like it was. And it's like the Giants have their number. They're going to lose this game. They did.
People forget about that. That Manningham was their third receiver.
Right.
He was the number three receiver on that team.
Ugh, God. I'm like, what painful way are they going to lose this game? Oh, that's how it's going to be. Oh, good. Yeah, I didn't see that coming. But it's just a begrudging respect for Eli Manning. Like, I despise him. He's given me two horrible memories. But those, that beating he took in the NFC Championship game against the San Francisco 49ers was, I mean, he got ragdolled from whistle to whistle and was the balls in that game. And I don't know. The kid was tough. He was tough.
He definitely was tough.
And that kind of thing matters to me, too. So I would be a yes on Eli Manning. I know a lot of people won't. But regardless, even if you're going to pound the desk and be like, no, he was 500, retires with a 500 record regular season, all those interceptions, I get it. He's going to get in. The way it's trending, these are now bigger hauls. I mean, look at baseball this week with Larry Walker. But, you know, Kurt Warner is kind of a tipping point for the NFL. He gets in, Eli's going to get in. Phillip Rivers is going to get in. And I'm a no-one Phillip Rivers, but the stats alone will get Phillip Rivers in.
Rivers is going to get in. You know, you've changed my mind. He's in. Eli deserves it.
See, this is I'm a good pitch man. All right, we'll be pretty loose here today in this last hour, like I said. And with that, coming up, I'm going to touch on the one story I haven't had a chance to talk about all week, the one that's really made me more mad than anything. And it's further proof of why children should be seen and not heard. We'll get to that next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray. 98.5 The Sports Hub. You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Monroe County teen is actually doing something about changing the day of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, get this. 16-year-old Frankie Ruggieri has a legitimate reason. Who wants to get up on Monday morning after such a late night watching the big game, right? We wait all year for it. Frankie feels Saturday would be better so people can get to sleep in on Sunday. So he has started a change.org petition to get others behind his idea, starting with the 2021 Super Bowl.
He was persistent. He was very persistent, and he really believed it was a good cause. So I said, Frank, go for it. You do what you got to do.
For, like, Super Bowl to be on Saturday because of schools are not open on the next day. The school in the next morning or work. Might as well put it Saturday.
All right. Hang in there, Frankie. Similar efforts in the past have been unsuccessful, largely because the NFL believes TV ratings and revenue will be stronger by keeping its big game on Sundays. And not a bad idea.
No matter what day you put that game, the ratings are going to be high, right? Everybody's going to tune in.
But without Super Bowl Sunday, it just wouldn't be the same.
Yeah, but Saturday, Tuesday, doesn't matter. People are watching that game. I don't care.
Whatever.
Like, have a day off the next day, right, guys?
We'll see how many votes Frankie gets on this.
All right. I readily admit I'm an old who has change rage about a lot of things. World getting softer and stupider by the day. I hate seeing traditions go by the wayside. But this one really irked me because it's actually picking up steam, apparently. If you didn't really pay attention to that sound there, it's Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub. A New York teen, Frankie Ruggieri, 16, has started a petition on change.org to get the Super Bowl moved to Saturday starting next year. More than 30,000 signatures this stupid thing has. And that's how I feel about it. If you want the Super Bowl on Saturday, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. And this is further proof. Children seen, not heard.
That's because kids got to go to school on Monday.
The Super Bowl is, you know, so fine. Even if you're going to go to the high school or whatever, 16, school the next day, you go in and you half-ass it. That's the American way. that's a good life lesson for you. Because, oh, but all the productivity throughout the American workplace, it's down. And people take the day off and fake sick and they're hung. Yeah, that's tradition. That's the American way. Or you show up hungover, out of your mind. Or if you try to try to power through the day, I don't know, pop an Adderall and get through it. Drink a bunch of coffee. That's what we do. We're not changing it. College football Saturday, football NFL Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday. That's what you do.
But so that way we don't have to worry about it. We don't have to worry about school on Monday, and we have the next day to recover.
No, it's more for adults, not the children. We're not changing this, and screw any of you who actually signed this thing at change.org. I say it's not anything we're ever going to bring up on Felger and Maz, but I saw this. I was like, oh, I want to talk about this because it makes me so mad. Why are people listening to this stupid kid from wherever, New York, Syracuse, New York, who started this petition? 30,000 signatures. What's wrong with you people? The teen also brings up the point that the petition page, people have to go to work and school on Monday. Yeah, no kidding. Again, he means
some younger children can't watch the game in its entirety.
You know what happens, and catch up with it the next day. You'll know. Oh, God. Hey, why are people paying attention? 2019 survey from the Workforce Institute predicted that a record 17.2 million people call out of work following the Super Bowl. So he might be onto something. Again, you go in, you half-ass it. That's the American way. You don't want Super Bowl Saturday. No. No. Chris, thoughts?
So here's my thought. When I was young, much like this young man, I believed, and I still believe this, that the day after the Super Bowl should be a national holiday.
If you want to change that, fine. Yes, that I'm for.
So I don't want to move it from Sunday, but I think in the spirit of what this young man is trying to accomplish, I do agree with him that there should be no school or no work the day after the Super Bowl. Because as you just, mentioned there, people are there. They're showing up physically, but in spirit, they're not. I mean, they're not there. It's a bunch of vacant zombies. Nobody wants to be there. Nobody's heart is in it. Everybody, wants to be. I mean, I can tell you, the day after the Super Bowl,
oh, yes,
when I was at school, all I could think about was that I wanted to go back and rewatch the Bud Bowl commercials. That's all I was thinking. Nothing happening in class. I was thinking about how Bud Dry had prevailed in the Bud Bowl. That was all I was concerned with.
Yeah, you know what? That's the way to do it. That's what this young Frankie Ruggieri should have got behind, is put your change.org petition to have Monday be a national holiday. A lot of people have been clamoring for that. The Monday after the Super Bowl, national holiday, no school, no work. That's what it should be. But it spits in the face of what the NFL is. The NFL, Sunday. It's always Sunday, except for those couple of games you get late in December because the Thursday night slate goes to that, whatever. And college football's done. And all you have is the Army-Navy game, leading into Christmas. That's it. Football, NFL, synonymous. Sunday. Super Bowl, Sunday. Not Super Bowl, Saturday. You idiot. To you we go. Jack and Redding on the Eli to Hall of Fame talk that we had in the prior segment. Hey, Jack.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I agree with you. No Super Bowl on Saturday. It sucks. It's not going to work.
Right.
I want to get back to Eli Manning in the Hall of Fame. I remember, I've been with you guys for ever since you started went on the air, and I remember 07 leading up to the Super Bowl, and everybody was saying Eli Manning stinks. There's no way he's going to be able to beat us. And I remember during a certain point in time, you guys were talking about elite quarterbacks, and you guys couldn't even agree on Eli being an elite quarterback. So I don't think that just I don't think any Hall of Famer, any time in his career, people would be debating if he's elite anything. Barry Sanders was always an elite back. Tom Brady was for the most part of his career, an elite quarterback. He's had multiple MVPs. I just think you guys are cheapening the Hall of Fame, just like the Baseball Hall of Fame. And it's all coming from reporters like you guys, like Peter King. You're selling this mediocrity that's going to the Hall of Fame. You guys, I hear you guys all the time complaining about how mediocre the Hall of Fame has become, especially a baseball Hall of Fame.
Well, Jack, look, I get your point. And during those regular seasons, he's never won an MVP. He's never been one of the top 10 quarterbacks that you would even talk about year in, year out.
He was never elite.
Never elite. Can't spell elite without Eli. I get it, Giants fans. I just wait the postseason. It's why I'm a yes on Curt Schilling for the Baseball Hall of Fame. So my Hall of Fame would be bigger than many, and certainly bigger than yours, caller. It's just, you know, the postseason really matters, and the biggest games matter. And Eli was, again, unkillable in 07 and 2011. And in 2011, I mean, that was his best, the better of the two runs. But I get it. Those small hall guys, you know, Feller's a small hall guy. My friend the D, a small hall guy. Wait a minute. They'd have like 10 names in there. You know it when you see it. A Barry Sanders type, a Tom Brady type, a Dan Marino. You know, granted, never had postseason success, didn't win a championship. But, you know, Marino, you knew. You saw him. He should get in. Elway, yes. You know, it's...
Well, let me ask this question, and I can't answer it because I never saw this guy play. It was before my time. But how does Eli Manning can say Terry Bradshaw?
Oh, it's statistically, it's pretty comparable.
You know, and so Terry Bradshaw's in, and it's like, okay, well, are you just at the right place in the right time? In other words, okay.
Look at Namath's numbers. He probably shouldn't be in, but he gets in based on that postseason run with the Jets.
Exactly. And so that's the thing. That's my question, I guess. And it's hard for me to answer because, again, I didn't see Bradshaw. And it was a different era of football. There were different rules, much harder to pass. I get it. But were people like, oh, Bradshaw's an elite quarterback? Or was it like, well, he's a winner? Well, it's like, of course he was a winner. He was on the Steelers. That team was loaded, literally and figuratively. So, you know, when you look at it, it's just, I don't know. It's there were some interesting debates. And I'll be honest about this, too. I'm more emotional about the Baseball Hall of Fame than I am the football one. I mean, the football one's cool. Cooperstown is amazing for baseball, and Canton's pretty cool. But when it comes down to it, like, you know, I'm probably going to be more strict about the baseball one than the football one. That's just the way I am.
But the steroid guys don't bother you, right? Because you wrote this week, Bonds, Clemens, they should get in.
No, not when they were clearly. I mean, the guys that bother me, and this is painting a fine distinction, and I get it. I think a lot of people don't. I look at it and I say this, is this guy only a Hall of Famer or worthy of Hall of Fame consideration because he took steroids? And guys I put in that category are Mark McGwire. If you take out the steroids, would he be a Hall of Famer? I say no, because he had one Hall of Fame skill, power, and was perverted by taking steroids. Rafael Palmeiro, I think before, early in his career, I think with the Cubs, he hit like 11 home runs or something like that. And then you look at the rest of his career. To me, he would not have been a Hall of Famer without some better baseball through chemistry. So he's out for me. Sammy Sosa, who would have been
a no.
Sammy Sosa without steroids would have been a Hall of very good player. But, not, you know, he had a 30-30 season. But he would not have been a guy. Sammy Sosa without steroids was basically Ellis Burks, right? And I love Ellis Burks. He's my all-time favorite baseball player. But he's not a Hall of Famer. And so that's what Sammy Sosa would have been. But because he roided up, he put up these insane numbers. Like, you can make a case. I think there's guys that you can look at, like Clemens and Bonds, and you're like, you look at that guy and you go, that guy's a Hall of Famer. And in the case of those two guys, there's a clear timeline, I think, in the case of both of them, where you can cut their careers off and say, okay, even if I cut out all these numbers, you know, here's what they did. And in my opinion, in both of those cases, they're in. And I also think they're products of their era, and it becomes sort of a slippery slope when you start ignoring history. Like, I don't know, I could say, like, I want to take Ty Cobb out because he never faced any of the best African-American players of his day. I could say that if I wanted to, couldn't I? I mean, you know, there's all kinds of things that happen throughout history that factor into it and affect it.
Yeah, Bonds, Clemens alone. Clemens with his Red Sox career and Bonds when he was with Pittsburgh, for me, because I'm old enough to remember. I mean, both of those two guys on those times of their career alone, I think that they should be in.
Yeah,
you
I
know?
Agree.
So, but God, again, Larry Walker getting in this week. Like that is spitting in the face of everyone that's actually.
I do not want to go to a Hall of Fame that has Larry Walker and Craig Biggio and does not have Roger Clemens or Barry Bonds. What is the point?
It just doesn't make any sense. All right, you want to join us? Got a couple open lines, 617-779-0985. Danny Amendola had some interesting things to say about the future for Tom Brady and whether or not he could be back with the Patriots. We'll touch on that next here on Gaspar Murray.
Gaspar and Murray. Gaspar and Murray. Gaspar and Murray. Gaspar and Murray. On 98.5, The Sport. This is Gaspar and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Do you have any sense, knowing Tom, knowing the situation in Foxborough, how this might go?
You know, it's going to go, you know, however he wants, I think. He's ultimate competitor. I think as his kids get older, Vivi, Jack, and Benny, he wants to spend time with his family. I think that's going to weigh heavily on his decision and where he goes, and he can set that up the way he wants. And but his competitive nature, his ability is still through the roof. And whatever team gets him, if he stays in New England or if he goes somewhere else, that he's going to bring a high level of football there. So
People talking about maybe the Chargers. He sort of likes Southern California. Can you see that as a potential landing spot?
It's hard for me to see him in any other jersey than a Patriots jersey, so I'm holding on just like everybody else.
I think we all feel that way.
Yeah. Well, former Patriot teammate of Tom Brady, Danny Amendola, being asked about his future and where he could go this offseason. Didn't really give you much. And really, the only reason I really wanted to play it, Chris, it's Gaspar Murray, 98.5, a sports hub, is I just, anytime I hear him or see him, I just can't help thinking, like, he should have never left. They should have just paid him, ponied up, paid a little extra. Danny Amendola, who was always kind of an emergency, you know, valve,
for lack of a better term, safety valve
for Tom Brady. They should have ponied up and paid him. He should have never left. Because he hasn't had the same kind of career since. I mean, granted, they call him Danny Playoff Amendola, where you know how nails he was, especially in the run to the Super Bowl against the Eagles, and how good he was in the AFC Championship game against the Jaguars. But
totally.
Considering the struggles, and I think you should do your best to try to keep Brady happy, they should have never let him go. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. But he didn't really give you much insight, though, in terms of where.
No, not really. It seemed like he was sort of reluctant to really weigh in. To be honest, I watched that on ESPN, and I'll just be honest with you, Jim, the whole time I was thinking, I would much rather you just answer any question about when you dated Olivia Culpo than any of this alleged football information you're giving me.
Danny, what's it like to be with Olivia Culpo? What can you tell us? What's the hair smell like? Huh?
I would have been far more interested in that.
A lot of upkeep. She a pain in the ass. What can you tell us?
Did she listen to the Nick Jonas song? She knew the Nick Jonas song was Jealous was written by Nick Jonas when he was dating Olivia Culpo, and it was about one night they went out in Hollywood, and this guy was just eyeing her up and down, and Nick Jonas had had enough. He wanted to fight the guy, but instead he went to the studio and recorded that fantastic song.
Well, I thought I had a head full of knowledge that shouldn't stick, but there you go. Surprised me twice on this show, making Coke references and giving us the details of a Nick Jonas song. Never cease to amaze, Gaspar. Harry in the car on Hall of Fame cases. Go ahead, Harry.
Hey, how are you? So you're talking about Terry Bradshaw and Joe Namath, all right? Mm-hmm. So Terry Bradshaw won 4 Super Bowls in a row. But when he started, the team was 1-15 his first year, him and Chuck Knoll. And then Joe Namath, I think you look at his Super Bowl when he won, he only threw for maybe 150 yards, but he called every play from the line of scrimmage. And the Colts played against the pass, and they ran the ball and won the Super Bowl. But the rules were different. You could hit as long as the quarterback's arm was moving, you could hit the quarterback. They were both great. They ruined Namath because they just they assaulted. That was the first physical assault. They must have,
I don't need the history lesson. I've watched enough of the NFL films on Joe Namath. Joe Namath's in simply because it's one of the most improbable Super Bowl wins ever, and he called it, and he was charismatic. If you look at his stats, it's before my time, but just based on watching the NFL films and, the historical stuff on Namath, I don't get why he's in, but...
Yeah, I think it's more about not just the Super Bowl, but the guy was a pop culture icon.
Yeah.
He also was an incredibly just physically talented quarterback, particularly for that time. But I think in terms of the actual output, I feel the same way about Joe Namath. And I think this guy had a better career, but I feel like Joe Namath and John Elway are overrated. I think they're two guys who had a tremendous physical skill set, even though the skill sets are different. But they never really quite lived up to it.
Wait, what name did you say? Jay Elway?
I say, yeah, John Elway.
Really?
I think he's overrated. I don't think...
Broncos teams, he was surrounded by garbage.
I'm not saying he's not good. I'm not saying he doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame. He absolutely does. But I think he's overrated. There were times he had some poor decision-making. He wasn't always as accurate as you would expect someone of that ilk to be. Certainly, he did drag those Broncos teams to some Super Bowls. But given what his physical skill set was, he should have been a better quarterback than he was.
Oh, I'm a little surprised to hear you say that.
He's overrated.
Just circling back.
Don't like the Broncos, I think, as you can ascertain.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. They're not one of my most hated. But
yeah, they're up there for me. Do not like the Broncos.
Well, that's going to be some sort of residual after effect from the 80s and 90s. That's how I feel about the Niners. We talked about this last week. There's still some sort of stain the Niners have left on me because they were always there. They annoyed the hell out of me. And I could understand how good Montana and even Young were, and Rice was a blast to watch, but they just, I don't know. It's how people are going to end up feeling about the Patriots if they don't already. Always there. They're always there. Enough with the Patriots. That's how I felt about the Niners. It's why I want them to lose, and I want to be right about Garoppolo. But that being said, the right two teams are
in the Super Bowl? Yeah or no?
Two deserving teams. I mean, look, I think you can make a case it would have been interesting if Baltimore had beaten Tennessee. I think that they were just too rusty. I think the approach was bad. And I also think that Lamar Jackson got into a situation where he pressed. I think that he pressed. He was not able to maintain his composure the same way that Patrick Mahomes did when they got down against the Houston Texans. And I think Lamar Jackson got into a circumstance where the pressure of the moment, the expectations, the burden of being the number one seed and the MVP and all that stuff got to him. And I think it got to that Baltimore team as a result, and they really sort of got out of sorts. But I would have liked to have seen them advance. I would have liked to have seen Baltimore and Kansas City play just to see how that game would go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. But I do think we're going to get a good game. We've been on a run of having good games.
Definitely.
I know nationally people thought last year's game was a bore, but I liked the defensive battle. I thought it was, sure, you know, edge of your seat, especially towards the end because it was in the balance. And I liked last year's game. Obviously, liked the result. Yeah. But we've been really lucky here. I mean, growing up, I mean, how many dud Super Bowls did we watch time and time and time again?
Like, see, I liked the 49ers, though. So when they destroyed the Broncos in that Super Bowl in the 1990 calendar year, 89 season, what was that, 55-10?
Yeah.
I was all about that. Yeah. Also, that was a great Bud Bowl year.
So I liked, I mean, growing up though, so we were lucky in 88, that was the Niners-Bengals game.
That game was awesome.
And then 90, the first of the Bills' losses.
That was a great game. Year,
great game. But other than that, like,
there were some real duds.
Blowout. So in the last 20 years, we've had two suck games.
But I'll tell you what though, you know, it has to be the right moment and the right team, and you have to be ready for it. For example, that Tennessee-St. Louis Super Bowl was actually a good game, but the whole time I was watching the game, and I think Fox had the broadcast, I was like, this is just all wrong. I'm like, this game's on, like, Fox, and it's, like, the Titans and the Rams. I just could never get over the two teams playing in it, and this is probably one of my least enjoyable Super Bowls.
I think it's the most overrated Super Bowl of the last 20 years. Like, they say he was Dyson was within a yard of... He wasn't close.
I agree. I totally agree.
And I don't know. I felt like the Rams were basically in control of that game the whole game. Like, there's such a revisionist history for that Super Bowl now, 20 years ago. Right? 20, yeah, because that was
99 season.
That one, I'm like, eh.
That wasn't good. That's like saying, like one Super Bowl I got to meet, like, Ciara. And that's like saying, you know, that I was close to dating Ciara because, like, I met her at the Super Bowl. That's with that Dyson play. It's like the same thing.
But Giants, Ravens sucked.
Yeah, that sucked.
The Raiders, Bucks sucked. And
I didn't mind Raiders, Bucks.
It
wasn't a super competitive game, but I was happy for the Bucks.
And what's the other one?
The one that sucked the most to me was Seahawks Steelers. That game blew.
That sucked. Seahawks.
That was a terrible
Seahawks
game.
Broncos. You can make a case sucked. I enjoyed it. I loved it.
I thought that was good. I thought that was a good game.
But yeah. So and I expect this one to be a bit of a shootout. I wouldn't be that surprised if it ends up being like Eagles Patriots. You got scores in the 30s. It's back and forth. Maybe a defensive score. I have an outlier though for Super Bowl MVP.
Okay.
I'm saying Tyrann Mathieu with two picks, one for a pick six on Jimmy Garoppolo. Haven't had a safety. Only one other safety has won the Super Bowl MVP. Do you know who it is?
Is it Dexter Jackson?
That's the one.
Yeah, he went to Florida State.
For
so
the
that's
Tampa Bay Bucks.
I almost said Larry Brown, but I was like, no, he was a corner.
He was a corner.
Yeah.
95 for the Cowboys.
Who sounds like nerds now, Jim?
And here we go. I think he's feeling it now, Daniel. Boy, Chris and Jim are really showing off their 90s and 2000s football knowledge. They're really feeling it now, Daniel. Cam in Taunton with a Bruins thought. Hey, Cam.
How's it going today, guys? And Chris, are you sure that song wasn't about Miley, the Jealous song?
I'm positive. It was about Olivia Culpo.
Okay. I guess I just got wrong information. Okay, that's good to know. To the Boston Bruins, at the All-Star break, round of applause. Seriously. I mean, if you had told me they've been playing this season longer than their offseason was, that's how short their offseason was. If you had told me after that devastating loss and the toll that that run took on them, that they'd be at the All-Star break leading what was the consensus best division in hockey to start the year by almost 10 points and in third place in the league behind the Capitals and the reigning cup champion St. Louis, that's unbelievable. So they deserve a ton of credit. I know a lot of that is shootout and overtime loss points, but so be it. It is what it is. They're in third place. They're in great shape. I think they deserve a ton of credit for the first half of the season they had. Now let's see if they can keep it going.
Without question, Cam, they've defied my expectations with the way that thing ended last year. And I saw him tweet that, too, that they've now played as much time, a little of the time that they had off from Game 7. The way that thing ended, and you know, you heard how devastated that locker room was after losing to the Blues, I figured this was going to be a dud of a year. They've been awesome. They're going to be there. They're going to be in contention. Do I still trust Rask? Oh, hell no. But, you know, for where they are at this point, I hope that they add. There's been rumors of Chris Kreider. He's the top of their list. So would I. You know, they still need some secondary. He's the top of their list. So would I. You know, they still need some secondary scoring. I still, you know, I don't know how much I trust them 5-on-5. But they're going to be there, and I hope for another deep run. And I would love to be proven wrong on Tuukka Rask. Don't think I will. But would love to be proven wrong. Tom and Quincy would probably be the final call here on Gaspar Murray here today. Hey, Tom.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Going on, Tom.
Hey, I want to talk about this possible replacement for Brady, which, oh, my God, the list is just putrid. It's just awful. but, Chris, I am so happy to hear you think Elway's overrated. I've been saying that for years. I'm finally, someone else agrees.
I mean, I'm not saying he's not good. He was very good, but I think he's overrated.
I agree with you 100%. But, yeah, Jim, I remember calling you guys on Felger a couple weeks ago, and Felger had read that list of these potential bottom-of-the-barrel quarterback retreads that possibly would come here.
Oh, it's brutal.
But I could not agree with you more about the Andy Dalton thing, because I'm honestly at the point where if that truly, like, comes to fruition and he is the quarterback of the Patriots, I don't think I could legitimately watch that team anymore. I don't think I could pull it off. I don't think I could suffer through it. I don't think I could do it without throwing up on myself watching that guy play for the Pats following a guy like we've watched for 20 years.
Tom,
just my opinion on that one.
Tom, you're not alone. I think from I really mean this, from a PR standpoint alone, not even talking about the football and what, you don't trust Belichick, he's been able to take turds and turn them into diamonds. I know, it's one of his best attributes. Look what he's been able to do with guys like John Simon, Van Noy. I mean, guys that were, sure. You know, Van Noy's a second-round bust for the Lions, and he ends up being like one of the key pieces of this defense here. So that's one of his better attributes. But I'm sorry, Andy Dalton sucks. If your eyes work, you know that. He got benched for Ryan Finley this year. But from a PR standpoint alone, he's right. Like, that's how I would feel too. Like, I can't. No,
it is a tough sell. It's a tough sell in terms of it being the future, you know?
Yeah. So there you go. All right. With that, we'll wrap up with 5 questions for Chris Gasper. I have nothing to do with sports next.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I got 5 questions for Chris Gasper of the Globe. I got 5 questions that got nothing to do with sports. I got 5 questions.
5! 1, 2, 3, 4, 5!
I got 5 questions. I hope this segment ain't too wild.
All right, so we wrap up the show each and every week, as long as we have time. Here at Gasper Murray, 5 questions for Chris Gasper. Have nothing to do with sports. Question number 1, Chris. A restaurant in San Francisco is testing a new policy. If your meal goes over 90 minutes, you have to pay. Oh, we still want the music. Bring the music back up. If your meal goes over 90 minutes, you have to pay $30 per seat to stay there. So what do you think about this? Is this a good idea for restaurants or no?
That's absurd. No. No, that's ridiculous. Why am I'm already paying for the food. How good is the service? Are you going to subtract if the service stinks? How about this? If it takes more than 10 minutes for my food to come out, I subtract $30 from the bill. How do you feel about that?
It's a horrible idea. You don't rush.
I hope this restaurant closes.
Thank you. This is how I feel. The only diners that should be rushed is if you have a couple of old biddies that show up and have like a muffin and 2 cups of coffee and sit there for 3 hours. Like, get out of here, you old bags. Like, we need the table. But otherwise, don't rush your diners. And if you're looking to flip your tables that quick, you don't care about customer service. That's not a priority. You suck, and I hope you go out of business. Because if you have an 80th birthday party for Nana and you have 12 members of your family, that's 360 extra bucks.
Yeah,
don't laugh yourself.
Ridiculous.
I'm not paying that.
That's absurd.
Question number 2. Chris, if you do the shopping, grocery shopping,
I do.
Do you return your shopping cart to the corral when you're done?
I do. Or I push it into the little things they have in the parking lot. I always return it.
You're OCD that way. I can understand that. Me? Where it stops is where it stays.
Why am I not surprised?
They pay kids to go get them.
Hashtag one big cart.
That's one of the, that is one of the staple teen jobs. One of your first jobs you get is you work for a supermarket and you go corral the rogue carts that have been left by a-holes like
okay,
me.
Okay, but here's the thing, and I know what kind of car you drive, and I drive the same type of car. I do not want someone leaving these shopping carts in spaces or just in the parking lot, because then you end up banging into them or someone ends up pushing it into your car. Why don't we just put them all away where they're out of the way? It's not that difficult.
I'll park far. I don't mind walking. but otherwise, where they,
you're
where
unbelievable.
They, where they stop is where
you're
they stay.
Really unbelievable.
Don't earn that $8. question number three. Coronavirus, Chris. Scale of one being a shoulder shrug to 10 being absolutely terrified. Where are you?
I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm a 10. Anyone who's ever seen the movie Contagion, I feel like we're living it. And I am petrified. Now, today, you had President Xi come out in China and say that the situation was, quote, grave. Do you understand that for a communist country to admit they do not have the situation under control, do you know how bad it has to be there for them to come out and say it's grave? I mean, they're not just, they would never volunteer that information. That means it's like 100 times worse than what we've been told.
Yeah, use Chernobyl as the base here. So, you know, Soviet Union, granted, that was a different time, but they were like, nothing to see here. It's all fine. Don't worry about it. Years later, we find out how bad it was, especially if you watch the HBO series.
Yep.
Like you say, for a communist country to say within a few days, like, oh, it's all bad. Yeah, I'm a hard 10 here.
Yeah, me too.
And at the risk of being insensitive, I don't know, maybe... Let's not eat unregulated animals from unregulated markets. Like, do you need to have the plate of snakes followed by the bowl of bat soup? Like, Jesus. That's why the whole thing started in the first place. Just have noodles. Question number four. You mad you're not going to Miami, or do you not care?
I'm mad.
Like, how? Like, scale of 1 to 10. Shoulder shrug to, like, super pissed Chris.
9.
Oh. Now, and it's weird. It's a shame, because I've been on these trips with you. Like, I was expecting to see my pal down there, and
I used to go when the Patriots were. That used to be my thing. I would say, you know, DB that I am to some of the players I was friendly with the Patriots, never to someone like Corey Dillon. Oh my God, I'd be 6 feet under right now. But I'd be like, oh, you guys are going to the Super Bowl? No big deal. I go every year. Not anymore.
Well, I wish you were going to be there so I could have someone to hang with. But yeah. No, I'll enjoy it for you. I'll send you photos.
Let me know.
Question number five. Can you complete this sentence? Hell is.
Oh, geez. I don't know. I mean, it's funny you mentioned the grocery shopping thing. I would say, you know, hell is being stuck in the grocery line with someone who is fumbling to pull out, like, change to pay the bill or looking for their... Here's hell. Hell is someone who's looking for their checkbook in their purse in the grocery line at the supermarket in 2020.
I could give you an hour on this, but immediately my go-to was traffic. Hell's traffic. It's traffic. There's always traffic. Yeah. There's going to be traffic.
The airport.
Going on.
Sort of line.
Waiting.
Being on a plane. All of it.
So concludes today's show. Chris, always a pleasure.
Yeah, this is fun.
And thanks to B-Rob, Brian Robb, Boston Sports Journal. Check out his Celtics work there. Coming up, we have Marshall Hook and Ted Johnson. How long are you guys on for? What's
3 hours. 2 till 5. Going to be a lot of football in there. A lot of
excellent.
Football heavy. Do you want to do this now that we have, we're responsible for our own headlines? You want me to do it? I can wrap up. I have it in front of me.
Oh, I have mine in front of me, too.
What about dueling headlines, like, you know, a piano bar?
Yeah. Do you want to flip for it?
Yeah. You know what? Listen, you've worked a hard 3 hours. We're already into the 2 o'clock hour. As long as you hand me the spot, I'm good.
All right. Here's Marshall Hook with your Sports Up headlines, and it's Hook and Ted Johnson. Next, you want to get on with them, 617-779-0985. Talk to you Monday via Miami with Felger and Maz. Goodbye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.